Good morning, good morning. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from our studios here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to hear another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message we call the Old Trailblazer broadcast. And now and then, occasionally someone writes me or calls me and says, Pastor Trailblazer, why you call yourself old-fashioned? Well, just let me take a moment and tell you, because we preach the old-fashioned gospel truths of God's Word. We know that everything now you see on the TV, everything you hear on the radio, you hear in the periodicals, I get many, many of them across my desk, and I know many preachers firsthand, personally, and it's all just a modernistic, watered-down gospel, a little ho-hum gospel, just trust Jesus. They depict the Lord Jesus Christ as a little tin soldier God standing on the sideline of time, standing by the highway waiting for someone to come by and hope they'll make a decision for Jesus. That's not the gospel we preach. We preach that God is God, and He's all-powerful, and He's the God of this world. He's the God of this universe. He's the God of man, and He's sovereign, and He's eternal, and His word cannot be broken. And we go back to those old truths, those old paths that our great old preachers of yesteryear used to stand behind their old knobby pulpit there out of an old pine log or something, and back there when they rode the old horse out to the bend of the creek there in the forks of the road, some little log cabin or some little brush arbor, and preached hell off the cross because men were dying and going to hell. And folks today won't do that. And that's why they call me old-fashioned. They call me a lot of other stuff. They call me a crackpot. They call me hellfire and damnation preacher. But I don't care what they call me, because if it'll make them think, I hope I can make you so mad you'll think this morning. Don't get mad with me. Get mad at yourself. Do you know the Lord this morning? Are you praising the Lord for salvation? Oh, listen, are you praying for me? Are you praying for the Old Trailblazer? You think I'm preaching error? Pray for me. Pray for me. Say, Lord, straighten that old rascal out. Yes, sir, but I'm preaching what God's Word says, and that's the truth. And I bring in you chapter and verse every time I bring you a message. I don't preach my opinion. I don't have an opinion. My opinion went out the window back there years ago when the Lord was dealing with my heart. I thought I was somebody come. Oh, man, I was Mr. Somebody. But the Lord stripped all that stuff away, took all my pride, all my self-reliance, took all that out and threw it in the creek. That's right. That's right. He did. And He saved me. Brought me down the way of Holy Spirit conviction, brought me down as a lost sinner. Let me see myself lost, helpless, hopeless, undone, wretched, poor, blind, and naked, just like the Scripture says that you and I are. But He let me see it. Have you ever seen it? Are you blinded to your condition? Oh, my friend, listen. We have noticed in our study there on blood redemption, and we're looking at this particular time on the sin offering. We've been there for two or three times, and we've noticed that man as a sinner by ignorance, he's a sinner by ignorance. He doesn't know he's a sinner until the Holy Spirit comes and searches out that heart, lets him see that he's lost with no way out. Now, let's notice here, we're speaking about the sacrifice that was made there for the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. Let's notice the victim for the sacrifice. Let's look at that substitute. Let's look at God's sin offering for such a sinner. We find here in Leviticus 4:3 that the sin offering must be without blemish. Now, my friend, that leaves everything out, doesn't it? That leaves your little how-to-do out. That leaves your little self-reliance out. That leaves your little opinion out. That leaves your little work out. That leaves your little money out that you give. No, sir. It says that offering must be without blemish. You are a debtor. You and I are debtors, my friend. We have a sin debt, and we can't pay it. We can't pay it. You can try to run away from it. You can do everything you want to do, get mad. But you can't pay that sin debt, can you? No, sir. Listen, you know anything about bankruptcy? I do. I've been involved in a business for many years, a long time ago, where the folks took bankruptcy out on me, and I couldn't get one thing in the world out of them because they took out bankruptcy. But you bankrupt today, spiritually. Spiritually, every man is bankrupt, doesn't have anything to pay with. Now, listen, you can close your ears, but you're still a bankrupt sinner. And you must have someone to pay your sin debt who is free from debt. That's right. Now, you sit there and listen. My friend, could I just tell you this morning that I love you? My heart goes out to folks who are not saved. I love those to whom I'm preaching. I'm preaching my heart out. I'm preaching that your will be broken. It must be broken. I can't pay that debt for you, my friend. Never have I felt so hopeless in my life as I've sat before awakened sinners lately who said, Pastor, help me. Pastor, help me. I want to be saved, but I can't. I don't know how to help you, but I can point you to one who can. Oh, listen, the late Dr. Shelton, late Pastor Shelton, used to be here for many, many years ago, was a pastor here for all those years, and folks have told me, said, I'd go to Brother Shelton, and I'd say, Brother Shelton, I want some help. I want to be saved. Turn to the Lord. Just turn to the Lord. Just turn to the Lord. Look to Him. He said, make me so mad I could bite 10 penny nails. And that's what I do, folks. You want me to line out some way of the plan of salvation? Well, I don't have a plan of salvation. You look to the Lord. If the Lord's dealing with your heart in just the least bit, you look to Him. Sinner, this morning, you hear the old trailblazer? If the Lord's dealing with your heart, just a microorganism dealing with your heart, if you've seen anything about your heart, turn to the Lord. Don't wait. Oh, folks have put out all over this country that we preach that a person has to mourn over sin for years and years and years. That's a lie out of hell. No, a sinner will mourn. You will mourn. You will repent. You will have remorse in your heart because you see that you've sinned against a holy and just God. But listen, my friend, when the Lord deals with your heart, turn to Him. Turn to Him. Oh, listen, I'm a sinner myself. And I have to have a substitute to pay my sin debt. Man, what are you going to do? My friend, lady friend, what are you going to do without a substitute? That's what you're going to do without. What are you going to do without a sin offering? This is what you're going to do. You must have someone to meet that penalty of death against you as a sinner, or you'll pay for it yourself in hell. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm bringing a message here, you know, one of our Sunday lessons or Wednesday night. I forget which one it is. Speaking about hell. And I may just bring you a portion of that in one of our studies one morning. For someone to meet the penalty of death that is against you, it must be someone whom the law of righteousness has no claim against. The law of righteousness has a claim against every sinner. Therefore, no man can die for another one. But the law of righteousness has no claim against Christ, against our blessed Lord. So the poor old Jew had to bring a sin offering without blemish unto the Lord. So, my friend, the poor old Gentile, whoever you are, you must bring a sin offering, my friend, on the basis of his sinless perfection and that the righteous judgment of God had no claims against him. Our blessed Lord, Jesus Christ, came forward and offered himself as a sin offering, as a divine substitute for the sinner. And I wish you could see it. I wish it would dawn upon you. My folks here at Radio Missions in New Orleans and our mission places, our tape families, many of you who hear this broadcast, the Lord Jesus Christ has offered to pay that debt. Yes, what grace. When you look upon the sinner and see him in the light of God's Word, under the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, you see what he really is by nature. Not fit to be saved. Not worthy to be saved. You and I, in our natural condition, there's no value there. There's nothing there to save. There's nothing there to rescue. Just like a pile of junk, my friend. We're on the dunghill of sin. There's nothing there worthy to be redeemed. Then see the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune God, step forth as a lamb and offer himself in the sinner's place to pay the penalty that is lodged against that sinner in heaven. That is more than the human heart can understand. Now, I can't understand that. I can't fathom that. Can you? I can't explain it. I can't explain why the Lord Jesus Christ, spotless and sinless and the second person of the triune God, could step forward and say, I'll pay that debt. I don't understand it. Then, not only to pay the sin debt, but to give the sinner a righteousness, a perfect righteousness, which he does not possess, which will make him fit subject for heaven. Are you fit for heaven? No, sir. Not outside the righteousness of God. That's grace upon grace. When the old prodigal son got home, there he was. He wasn't fit to come in the house. He wasn't fit to go to the banquet table. They were preparing the fatted calf. But he wasn't fit he had to be clothed. And the father said, get the best robe and put it on him. What else did he say? Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Oh, my friend, that's what the Lord does, huh? When he died for sinners, he worked out a perfect salvation, a perfect righteousness that he can give us to, that we might enter in to where the Lord is. Did you know sin cannot enter? No sin can ever enter into glory? No, it can't. You say, well, no, it's no use saying all that stuff. The Lord will not look upon sin. He can't look upon sin. He's too holy. He's too righteous. And he cannot look upon sin. Now let's notice. In the sin offering, the victim was the substitute for the sinner. In the sin offering, the victim was the substitute for the sinner. That great truth is set forth there in 2 Corinthians 5:21 in these words, he hath made him to be sin for us. And then in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Do you understand that? The just for the unjust. How can you turn down such a Savior? How can you pit your will against such a substitute? How can you rebel against such a God? I don't understand it. I take all everything I know into consideration in speaking about a sinner can't come to Christ. But when Christ is held up to you as he is here day by day and week after week, and you folks here at Radio Missions where the gospel goes out, and the Lord Jesus Christ is held out to you as a Savior, as a Redeemer, as a substitute, and then you fall backwards, and you rebel, you rebel, you run off into sin, and you prowl around and say, "Well, I just can't trust him." Well, you just have to go on out into eternity lost, my friend. Listen, when the substitute is held up to a poor old helpless guilty sinner who's tired of sin, who's hungry after righteousness, when that's held up there, you'll cling to it. Folks ask me, what does it mean to trust the Lord? And I tell them unequivocally, trust the Lord. Cling to him. Cling to him. Adore him. Run to him. Fall at his feet. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. But don't turn loose. Don't let go. No, sir, don't let go. Hold to him. Hold to him. Hold to him. That's trusting the Lord. Looking to him day by day. Well, you get up in the morning, seem like everything's gone, washed out. But no, Lord, you saved me. Lord, you said you'd never leave me. You said I could trust you, and I'm trusting you, Lord. Make thyself real to me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. That's right. That's right. That's salvation, my friend, trusting the Lord. You know you can't go to hell looking to the Lord? You can't. You can't go to hell looking to the Lord. There's mercy. Anything this side of hell is mercy, my friend. But listen, Christ died for me and for you to make a substitute. If you trust him, if you just come to him with all pride broken, with your will broken, with your heart broken, and throw down the arm of rebellion against him. You know most folks hate the Lord. They don't want him to rule over them. They say, I'll not have this man rule over me. No, sir, I'm going to have my own way. I'm my own man. I'll do as I please. Nobody can say nay. But you will. Every knee will bow. Every tongue shall confess that Christ Jesus is Lord, Lord and Savior. And he'll be the Lord of your life long before he becomes your Savior. That's why your will must be broken. There can't be two wills in heaven. Your will? No, if you went there with your will unbroken, you'd take a pickaxe and a wheelbarrow and be picking up the streets of gold there in heaven. That's right. You say, well, that's you just being facetious, Pastor. That's right. I'm trying to make you think. If your will wasn't broken, you'd go there and lay claim to things that didn't belong to you. That's right, because your will had never been broken. And it had to create a special place to put you, because you'd be digging up the streets of gold, trying to take them somewhere with you. And, listen, I know, my friend, listen. Are you saved this morning? Are you trusting the Lord? The old trailblazer has a substitute this morning. Do you? Someone who took my place there at Calvary's cross and shed his blood for me and wiped away all my sin. Oh, listen, this is the old trailblazer. Pastor Albert Pendarvis, my heart's heavy for you this morning. Would you remember to write to me and let me know if you're listening? Just tell me that you're listening. I appreciate it. My mailing address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And if you would, send me a generous offering along with your letter. Help me keep the broadcast going. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.